I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Midlife Mavericks. I am your host, Allison Jacobson. So glad you are here. For those of you who don't know me, I am a coach, I am a speaker, I am an author for women in midlife who are not sure what they want to do in this second chapter of life, maybe have some fear, maybe have some self-doubt, and I help them get past that to live a kick-ass, confident life on their terms. And so if you're new to this podcast, I have solo episodes. I also bring on guests who've done incredible things in the second chapter of their life and other experts who can help us navigate every aspect of midlife. If you like what you hear, do me a favor, please subscribe, leave a review, because that helps other women find this podcast. So today I started my course, my annual course, Confidence Equals Cash. And it's one of my favorite courses. This is my third year running it. And I really love it because I think one of the greatest challenges for women, especially in midlife, is that fear of, am I going to have enough money to retire? What's going to happen to me? Where am I going to live? Oh my God, I just got fired from my job. How in God's name am I supposed to find another job? Or I'm sick of working. I don't want to work anymore. And I feel like I'm going to have to work until I die. So I have on with me today, Lisa Zeiderman. Lisa is the managing partner at Miller Zeiderman. She is a certified divorce financial analyst, and she was named to the Crain's New York list of notable women attorneys for 2022, a 2021 best family law attorney for client satisfaction by the American Institute of Family Law Attorneys. She loves working with women. She is also the author of a well-read blog on Psychology Today, Legal Matters, Understanding Mental Health Issues as They Apply to Divorce and Child Custody. So Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Allison, for having me. It should be a great conversation.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think so many of my listeners have either gone through a divorce or are contemplating a divorce. And I can tell you, my coaching practice is made up of a lot of women who, after the holidays, are like, that's it. I am ready to get a divorce, but they don't even have a clue where to start. And they come to me because they've been thinking about it. And it's classic, right? They come to me, they've been thinking about a divorce, and then I don't hear from them for 6 months because they think it's going to work out. They're trying to make it work out. Their husband has made promises to them that we know he's not going to keep. And then they come back 6 months later saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to do it. And I'm sure you find the same thing.
Sure. I mean, look, I think that divorce is a process and you have to go through the process in your mind of when you're actually going to be ready. And sometimes it is getting information and thinking about that information and thinking about how you're going to essentially start your new chapter and what that's going to look like and how you can pivot from perhaps where you are to where you're going next.
Yeah. And I belong to a lot of groups that are attorneys and financial planners, and gray divorce, meaning, you know, that older divorce seems to be getting much more prevalent. Do you find that as well?
I do. I think that there are more and more people who are coming in their late 50s and even early 60s and older who are looking at divorce. Their children are grown and they now feel that it's a safe time essentially to get divorced because they don't have to worry about issues of custody and they don't have to worry about how they're going to necessarily support their children. And so I think more and more people, once the children are out of the house and have launched, essentially feel a little bit more secure about going forward with their divorces.
Right. I tend to agree. And on the flip side of that, and I know you're not a psychologist, but
I have so many other clients come to me whose kids are in middle school and high school who are saying, I'm just going to hang in there a little longer. And what I always tell them is, if you think your kids don't sense the stress in that household, and if you think you're doing them a service by staying together, you're delusional.
So it's very interesting because I agree with the statement that the kids, as much as you might think your children are not aware of what is going on, they are very much aware. And they also have friends who are at school or camp or wherever it is, right? Who also have parents who are going through divorces. And so your kids are much more savvy than you give them credit for sometimes. And I've had many clients who have come to me and, I've said, how did it go with explaining it to the kids? And kids weren't surprised. Right. Some of the kids said, what took so long?
Yes.
We expected this to happen a much long, like we've been waiting for this.
Yes.
We can't believe that it's taken this long. And there was a sense of relief in a lot of cases that you finally are doing something, because perhaps you were arguing in the house. Perhaps things weren't going so smoothly. Perhaps everybody was sleeping in separate rooms and the kids were kind of waiting for this to end.
Yeah. Now I honestly, I got divorced when my kids were really young. And it was, I had come from a family where there had never been divorce. And so as much as my mother especially was really supportive of it, she didn't have any advice to give me because she had never been through it. And so if a woman is thinking of a divorce and she's nervous about what that future is going to look like, what's the first step she should take?
Well, I think she needs to have a consultation, frankly, with a divorce attorney who's going to give her the lay of the land and explain to her what it's going to look like in terms of support, in terms of equitable distribution. You know, we're in New York County, so equitable distribution is how we divide the assets up. And it's not necessarily always equal, although many times for a longer marriage, it is going to be equal most of the time, actually. But I think you need to sit down with an attorney and explain to the attorney what the income is, what the assets are, to the degree that you know. And a lot of women sometimes don't know. A lot of men don't know either sometimes. But explain what the circumstances are, and then get basically this roadmap of where you're going. Now, no attorney is going to be able to tell you with certainty as to what is going to happen, right? There are so many twists and turns in the road that you are about to take, but they can give you some parameters of what could happen. And then I think that you take that information and you make a decision about whether or not you think that you can travel down that road.
Right. And I love that you are a certified divorce financial analyst, because I think that, you know, so many women start down the divorce road and they're thinking maybe 1 year ahead, 2 years ahead, and they don't realize that there's more to it than that. And they really need to think of their big picture, right?
So I think that's true, particularly when it comes to many times the marital residence, right? Because the first inclination for a lot of women is to take on that marital residence, but sometimes they know that they're not necessarily going to stay in there the long term. And along with the marital residence may come capital gains, may come a brokerage fee, may come maintenance and repairs and staging when it's time to sell the house. And all those expenses are likely going to fall upon the then owner, which may be this person who has now gone through the divorce. And it may have been much more cost efficient and prudent to have sold that marital residence at the time of the divorce so that you could have shared in many of those expenses.
Yeah. And I think that's so tough for so many women, right? That's the home they raise their kids. They want to hang on to that. And how do you work with a client to get past those emotional feelings? I mean, that's what I do as a coach, but how do you kind of get them past that feeling?
Well, I think that we set the expectations very early, so that by the time we get to the end, they have had a lot of time to think about it. Perhaps they've worked with a coach, perhaps they've worked with a therapist. They have spoken perhaps to financial advisors as well along the road, because we try to really give those referrals so that they can actually work with other people and other professionals in areas that are their expertise. And then we lay out the financials and what they're going to look like. And we advise whether we think that it makes sense or it doesn't make sense. And then, of course, they have to make that final decision of emotionally, can they actually make that move, or do they feel that it's in their interest or their children's best interest to stay in the home? And some of them will stay in the home, and that's fine. And some of them will make the move, and that's also fine. I think you just have to keep in mind that your children's stability comes from a variety of factors and not just the home. And
yeah.
your relationship with the child is not necessarily all about the home. It's also a variety of factors.
Well, and it's interesting you say that, because I had a client who lived in a very suburban area, and they then moved. She moved into a condo downtown, so it were in the town. And she was so worried. The kids loved it. They were able to walk to the movie theater. Like, they were excited. And I think it's really important to realize what you think is going to make your kids happy versus what's really going to make their kids happy can be different. Do you also advise, like, getting the school involved, knowing what's going on so that they can be on the lookout?
So sometimes is the answer, and I think it depends, but you also have to be very careful when you're going down that particular road of getting other professionals or the school involved, because you want to make sure that your spouse, the other parent of your child, right, is also on the same page. And you also have to be very careful not to disparage the other parent when you're doing that. So, you know, if you're going to do that, and you may well decide that that's in your child's best interest, then just be very factual about it. You know, we're going through a divorce. I just want you to be on the lookout. If anything comes up or if behavior changes, then let us know, meaning the other parent as well.
Yeah. And boy, that is rough sometimes, right? When both partners are not on the same page. And I think that's really difficult. I mean, how do you advise your clients to just get along?
Yeah, so that is not an easy thing. You know, I think that we advise our clients to use some of the apps that are out there in terms of communication. So, for example, our Family Wizard is one that we use quite frequently. We also advise them to work with therapists to learn how to co-parent better. Another really, I think, very valuable tool. And to just keep in mind that their child is, you know, half of the other parent, and that is something that they must keep in mind when thinking about or dealing with the other parent, and not to argue in front of the children under any circumstances, that sometimes you just need to walk out of the room
Yep.
and just disagree. And just say, you know, I hear you, but I'm not going to have that conversation.
Yep. Bite
now.
Your tongue until it's bloody.
Exactly. Exactly. Great expression. Exactly.
Can you explain what My Family Wizard is to my
sure.
listeners?
Sure. My pleasure. So My Family Wizard is an application which allows parents to communicate. It actually, it's like email, but it's so much better than email, because you, all of your communications are in one place and they are stored there, and nobody can edit or modify them. So if you needed to present any of the messages in a courthouse, it's easy to do. If your attorney needs to show it to another attorney, easy to do. They have all sorts of features on it. So, for example, they show when the actual time that somebody opened the message was, and also the time when somebody actually responded to the message, when it was sent, when it was received, when it was opened, all of those things. It also has a tone meter, which you can purchase, which actually will show. And I, you know, I'm on the board of Savvy Ladies. I don't know if you're familiar with the organization, but so we did a panel discussion on divorce last week, and someone from our Family Wizard was on, and they actually showed how the tone meter actually works. So you construct the message to the other parent, and then it will come up with something that says, like, aggressive, if the tone was too aggressive, so that you can then modify it and bring the tone down. So
wow.
The example that was given that night was, you know, the other parent is late for pickup, and the person writes, "Why are you always so late? You know, you really make me angry about this, and You just don't have any thoughtful, part of your body, and believe it or not, it picks it up and it shows it's aggressive, as opposed to something else that you might have written about the person being late. So it was actually very helpful. It also has for pickup and drop off, if you have somebody who's always late, or if somebody is accusing you of always being late and you're on time, it has a you can drop a ping to actually show that you were at a particular location at a particular point.
That's incredible.
Yes. So it's got a lot of great features, I have to say.
Well,
And people
and
should check it out.
yeah, because the only thing I knew about My Family Wizard was you can put in all the kids' activities so you can share that calendar. But the tone meter, I think everybody should have that on their email. That is amazing.
So I think it's a great source, and they keep coming out with new features. So if your child, for some reason, if your parent, the parent of your child has supervised access or supervised phone calls, you could actually have the phone calls recorded, during, and you can get court permission, of course, to do this by our Family Wizard. That's a new feature that's coming out now. So there's a lot of great features.
Wow. And I will put the link to that in our show notes. So I want to talk a little bit about the specific, because as you know, this podcast is Women in Midlife, the specific challenges women over 50 face in divorce, making sure they have enough resources for retirement.
So I think women in general, and I hate generalizing, but many women who come to us have been the support essentially of their spouses or the other parent, and that other parent has gone out to build careers and to climb essentially the career ladder, and as a result is earning far more and has far more earning capacity than necessarily the parent who stayed home, raised children, was the one who was making sure that the meals were on the table, or that they were keeping the social calendar, or running the dinner parties, or doing all of those things, right? And unfortunately, when they come to us, and they're in their 50s, they're not necessarily going to have climbed that ladder. So I think that that is, and now they're going to need support. And the question is, how much support and how long is the support going to come? The good news is, whatever assets they have actually accrued during the marriage that are marital assets will likely be shared on a 50-50 basis. So that's good news. But it's the support, it's both child support and spousal support that is going to be very important, and how to get back into the career world so that they can actually start to be self-supporting.
Right. I think that, like we said, it is hard when you've been out of the workforce, you decided to take a break. And I think there's that great fear of being over 50 and not necessarily being digital savvy and, really getting back in there. So, how do you like advise women if they're just starting down the divorce path? What are the first steps to start taking to get smart about things?
So I'm going to talk about digital savvy for a second, actually, because we have a client who is a lovely woman who could not have been had more difficulty with digital savvy at the beginning. I mean, sending an email was a huge thing, and now she is redlining agreements. Okay, so I'm just going to say that it is absolutely possible if you take, the right courses and sufficient courses. And registering for those courses is such a great idea because, frankly, it's going to help you through the divorce process too. If you're not digital savvy, it makes the divorce process a little bit harder too. So,
Interesting.
right, because everything is so digital now. So it really does make a difference. It makes a difference for us to communicate with her because she can now read the email, send the emails, redline the agreements, look, see our red lines, all of those kinds of things. So it does actually make a difference. But in any event, taking the courses that will bring you up to speed so that you do understand actually how to email, how to use Microsoft Word, how to use Excel spreadsheets, all of that, that's really helpful. Also, getting a career counselor is also a really smart idea. Someone who can actually help you with a resume, who can help you figure out what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses, so that you can start to think about what is the career path that you might want to pursue. I think all of those are good ideas. And there are people who perform vocational analyses. And those actually, although sometimes they're part of litigation, they also can give you a lot of input into the areas of strengths and weaknesses so that you can actually re-enter the job market. Volunteering, I will tell you, is a great way to do it. It opens the door, gives you some experience, lets you get your feet wet. You don't have a ton of pressure at that point in terms of your volunteering, so nobody's standing over you usually because you're giving up your time. But it helps you decide about some of the things that you might be interested in, and it helps you build your resume.
Well, and I think also so many women don't recognize how much talent they already have, and they've probably already been volunteering. It's like, look at those things you're doing and put that into a resume of the strengths you have. It's pretty amazing. How would you advise someone to find an attorney to work with? Because it's not like you can just go online and Google attorney. I mean, how do you find someone that's right for you?
So, look, I'm going to tell you how people find me. Okay. They find me through referrals from other friends who have had the experience of working through me with me. And that's sometimes a very good way. Asking other professionals that you might already be working with is also a good way to find referrals. So if you have a therapist that you're close to or a financial advisor that you feel is a good advisor, they probably have referrals for you. Other attorneys in other areas, maybe your accountant, also could be a good referral source. So any of those areas could be good referral sources. And believe it or not, listening to podcasts also are helpful. I do get referrals from people who listen to the podcast because they have seen, my view on certain things and they understand where I'm coming from and they feel like they could actually have a experience of working with me, which would be beneficial to them.
Yeah, it's so funny because a podcast I just did and aired talked about that specifically, how podcasts are a great marketing tool for everybody, and any business should do a podcast because we all have something important to say. I want to pivot a second because I know you said that so many women, left their jobs to stay home, but there's also a significant group, myself was included, where women are the primary breadwinners, and there's concern about what's that going to look like.
And those are the most difficult cases, right? Because I think that women overlook the fact that when they are the primary breadwinners, they may be paying spousal support. They
Yeah.
may actually be paying child support. And they, look, women for many years fought for equality. And I think that women have to understand that if they are in the position of having to pay spousal support or child support, they probably are in the more fortunate position because they are not waiting for the check to come in from their spouse. They actually have control over earning and they have that earning capacity. And they have achieved something that is very important and they will continue likely to climb that corporate ladder. And they will benefit from it. And that while it feels unfair at the time that they're paying it, truth be told, is this is what we all fought to have, which was this equality. And it's going to run in both directions. But again, I think that if you are the one who is writing the check, then you are already the one who is more fortunate.
Right. Like, and so I talk a lot about mindset, and that's absolutely what it is, right? Like,
Exactly.
you have the power, the control, and I'm not saying be grateful for paying alimony and child support, but being grateful that you have the ability to do that. That's huge. And like you said, it's control. The trick is not to allow that anger and resentment to sideline you and find that mindset ability to be good with it.
It's 100% true, and it is very difficult for many women to understand that they are in that situation where they are actually writing the check for child support or they are writing the check for spousal support. And I think, again, they have to understand that, okay, this year I'll make this much, but next year I might make so much more. And now it's going to be essentially my money, Okay. And I'm not saving it for two anymore. I'm saving it for one. And when I am going to put the money into my 401k or I'm earning it in my pension, it's going to become mine.
Exactly. So, Lisa, this has been great. People can find you at lisazeiderman.com, and I know you have a resource for people.
I do. So they should go to people who have questions, financial questions. I am actually chair of a board called Savvy Ladies. And Savvy Ladies is a wonderful organization. It's a non-for-profit. We actually pair women specifically with financial professionals where they can actually ask on our helpline questions about their finances, and they are paired one-to-one with a financial professional. So they have a it's a phenomenal source for women to go to. And they go to savvyladies.org and they can sign up for that free pairing and actually have a financial professional answer their financial questions. And
Now, this is a national podcast, obviously. Can anybody?
yes,
Okay,
it is
great.
nationwide. It is
Terrific.
nationwide. It is free and it is nationwide.
Terrific. We will put that in our show notes as well. One last thing. What piece of advice would you give any woman in midlife?
So I think the most important advice that I can give anyone in midlife is not to be afraid. You will actually be able to get past all of it. You really can. You can find the job. You can get divorced. You can start a new career. I am someone who actually, this is my second career. So believe me, you can do it. You just have to put your mind to it.
Exactly. And there's so many opportunities. I try to tell my clients too, this isn't a new adventure that you're starting out with. The page is clean. You can write it any way you want. It's exciting. So, but I also say it's kind of like going into surgery. You've got to prepare yourself, right? You've got to be in the best shape physically, mentally, emotionally, have the greatest support people working with you to help you through it. And you do. It's so much better on the other side.
100%.
Oh my gosh. Lisa, thank you so much for joining me. And everybody, have a great rest of your day and see you soon.
Thank
Bye
you so
now.
much.